Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me today, I have kind of the guys that run the city here at Jerseyville. And we're going to talk about some things that's coming on and some things that they've done. I got Mayor Kevin Stork, who has been in office as mayor for like about 3 years, but you've been
a part of the council since 2015.
Yeah. So if my math's correct, that's like 11 years.
Almost.
Yeah. And Bob Manns, your right-hand man, public works director. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate being here.
And how many years have you been at that position?
Over 6 years already.
Yeah. Have things changed much since you came in? What have you noticed? Maybe I should ask the mayor that.
No,
you brag on him a little bit. What's going on?
Yeah, we always tell him that, I'm just probably tired of hearing it, but I'll tell it again. No, we appreciate, he is a good pickup, coming, just his leadership skills as, when he was with Hittingen's running staff, personnel, but then his knowledge as an engineer is just a huge asset to the city as far as being able to move projects along quickly and save money and, also manage the people that can do the work. So the upside was tremendous. So,
yeah. Bob, has it been enjoyable?
Yeah, it's been great. It's a big change from private consulting. So public service is a really good fit for me, Chris, and I'm appreciative of the council. They do a great job in their roles, and it allows us, all of the staff, not just myself, but all of us to do our jobs. They're very supportive, so we appreciate it.
So it's been a good move for you. You've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
More work?
It's different work. So I'd say my days are much busier and crazier. And my nights, there's in public works, there's night call outs and things. But I used to attend probably 3 or 4 nights a week. I'd be at different communities and different council meetings. And so it's more manageable from that standpoint.
When you were an engineer with Hennigan's, was this something that you thought about? You thought, I'd kind of like to have that job. I'd like to do that. Did you ever think about that?
No, not at all. It was an absolute.
You didn't have time.
No, I didn't. I assumed I would retire there, and the people are great there, a great company. But a couple things happened in my personal life that just things fell into place. And
yeah, I think I remember you telling me that once.
Yeah. So it's been great. I think one of the things we are proud of all as a group is that we're kind of more on a long-term capital improvement mindset. We're trying to do things in logical orders and look long term and bring in grant money and those kind of things. So that's really important for a community.
I know from the outside looking in, it seems like you're very team oriented,
with the
city council and just everybody working there.
Yeah.
It's nice. Hey, let's talk about, we got some things to talk about, but let's talk about, mention a few things, you can comment on them, about things that have been going on in the city over the last few years. How about the Hollow extension? What's going on with that?
Yeah, we always try and find that mix of, things that for like the rec and parks and things like that, the feel good stuff. But then the other side of the coin is, the infrastructure from roads and, we were talking about drainage too. But yeah, Hollow, we had a opportunity, got grant money for that first section of Hollow, and it was a test patch of some new concrete that the state was wanting to try out. So that was part of how we got some funding for that. And now we had another chunk of funding that goes all the way back to Rodney Davis. Is that right? Is this part of that? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So we had a chunk there that would help us extend.
Another chunk of concrete that needs to be tested.
Pretty much. That'll help us extend out to Wagner, which would be city limits for us out there. So Hollow would be all the way out there. So it helps tie all those houses back into the city with a safe sidewalk.
Yes, that's going to be so nice for the people living out there. And you got the splash pad done last year. Tell me about the splash pad. I haven't been to the splash pad. I figured you'd get carded if you went to the splash pad. I would be too old. But how about that splash pad? Do people like it?
Yeah,
I think it's been a wonderful asset for the city. So it's a lot different than the way the city pool functions. And for us, we don't necessarily have to have certified lifeguards there because, you don't have the risk of drowning and those kind of things. So we're able to move staff around. It's really hard to get lifeguards nowadays, believe it or not, with that certification.
Just for people that don't realize it, tell some of the things about the splash pad that make it different than a pool.
Yeah, so it's more of a, there's no water, no water depth. Everything is you walk onto like a pad or a surface, for lack of a better term, and everything either splashes down on you or you do interactive water gun fights on the pad, or it's just, it's great. And it's
great,
it's mainly
kids.
For age 1 to, let's say, 10 or so. After that, we're seeing more kids at the pool, but parents, grandparents, it's really been a very popular project.
You're more than welcome, though, Chris.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some... great nephews and nieces that I'm going to bring there one time for sure, maybe this summer.
But that facility is open 7 days a week. It's kind of 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. kind of time frame, so it works out really good through the warm season.
And when it's on, those, remind me, Bob, those are, they get activated. So they're not running constantly. Like, kids can activate the features in the water and stuff. So
does it get recycled, the water?
We did go with a recirculation system, That's a very good observation. Yeah. And that helps the city, obviously. We save money. And we figure about 90% of the water gets recirculated and reused.
Hey, talking about water, you know, we had that big storm last year, which I don't know.
In July?
It was in July. And we had so many basements flooded and everything. What's the skinny on that? What's going on? I mean, what has happened? Any changes, anything, any improvements made to fight that?
Well, again, going back to the capital improvement plan, we've done a number of projects in the last 5 or 6 years related to stormwater and drainage. Every community faces those issues. So we had a large project called the Sandy Creek Drainage Improvement Project that the council did. We've worked on, people have probably seen the stormwater pond over by East Grade School. That was done in the last 5 years. We have a project in the works now called, it's a phase two of that project. So we'll be going 2 blocks south towards Arch Street, and then we'll be going several blocks north all the way to the high school soccer field at Snedeker. And there's a large drainage basin that handles all the residential and honestly a lot of the business community on the east side of State Street. So that improvement project is getting ready to start construction next month.
So we're going to be better off. The thing is, the water table's so low here in Jerseyville, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that one of the things, the water can't get away fast enough?
Somewhat. I think the issue in July specifically, you know, they talk about rain events, and that was like considered a 300 to 500 year rain event. So
we
hope, you know, no one that we have talked to has seen an event like that, and we hope to not see it again in our lifetimes. But unfortunately, municipal systems are, because of economy mainly, they're set up to handle much smaller rain events, and they handle those well, and we're proud of the work we've done. But, you know, no community systems, we can't put in 10-foot diameter storm sewer pipes everywhere around the community. It's just not feasible or possible. So,
yes.
And that's what it would take to handle an event like that. So
You just got to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Each home, you know, you got to kind of look ahead and say, well, what can we do to make this better?
Yeah. But in that event specifically, we had guys out there at 2 or 3 in the morning making sure things were open and draining and flowing as best they could. But like you said, it was so much rain in such a short period of time. So it was a tough one.
I know we have a public hearing coming up Tuesday, January 20th at 5:30 p.m. And that's one of the reasons why we came in today.
Yeah, one of the topics.
And it has to do with exclusive trash recycling, yard waste collection, and disposal of. Mm-hmm. And you tell me about it, about what you guys are looking to do.
So January 20th specifically, we're looking for more public feedback. So we have an information session that's going to be before our regular city council meeting on that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So council meetings start at 6, so a half hour before that, we'll have a public sort of information on this trash citywide pickup that we started this process, like 8 months ago, I want to say.
Yeah, at least.
So since my time on the council, you know, we've had a lot of people approach the city wanting recycling. You know, the county's tried recycling before, you know, and included the city in their recycling efforts that have just never either taken off or the services got misused. They weren't, you know, people were dumping trash in the recycling. We've always been in behind the scenes talking about what are some possible solutions to this. How can we offer this? And one of the things we came up with is using the economy of scale, if we put it out to all the trash haulers out there, who could provide the city with curbside trash pickup, recycling pickup, and yard waste pickup? You know, so because we get a lot of people also coming to us about leaf burning, you know, trying to eliminate that.
Yes.
You know, people have allergies or different reasons for why they don't want that. So how can we, without passing an ordinance saying, you know, oh, no more leaf burning, then it's not gone. You know, you can still do it. So, but
if we still can?
Yeah, yeah. Just, it's not, I forget the exact year. I didn't bring that to me. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's some burning that can't happen, but if we eliminate it, then you got to give people an avenue to then get rid of their yard waste, right? So this is one of these efforts to, you know, how can we make this work? So the process started for us with, you know, that, and then we've also heard from different people, residents around the city, they have different prices on their trash pickup. They ranged from 40 for some folks, you know, and others were in the 30s. So they're kind of all over the place.
How many different trash picker uppers do we have in town?
I think we figured out we had 5 to 6 that are currently active. When we sent this out to the different vendors, we probably had 8 or 9 vendors that expressed interest initially in the program. So,
hey, if you're just joining us, I have Mayor Kevin Stork of Jerseyville and Public Works Director Bob Manns of Jerseyville. So we're talking about the trash pickup issue coming along. So this is basically, I mean, you don't have to do it, but you're doing it because you want to make it better for the people.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's why. It's not like...
That's the intent behind it. Yeah. Can we make it more cost-effective for everybody? And can we add services that the public are asking for? So, and that was our approach. You know, we talked behind the scenes, you know, this is the feedback we're getting from everybody. So that helped us build out our request for proposals. And that's what we sent out to all the different vendors. We sent it out to 9, I believe, mm-hmm. or 9 at least expressed interest. And then 3 submitted bids. So
3 bids.
Yeah. Okay. And then the 3 that submitted were Republic, GFL, which is based more out of Jacksonville, Peoria area.
Right.
And then Community, which is a local operator here. So.
Okay, so the bids are in then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. The bids are in, and not too many times. The numbers we're seeing is what we found in our research with other communities that do this. They're very favorable pricing, so it's not too many times you get to offer something for your residents that is also lower cost.
So. Right. So how will they be billed?
That would be from that individual company, whoever would get that, be awarded that bid. You know, if that's a decision we make, they would be responsible for billing the residents.
But, and this is just residential, it's not commercial.
No.
Right? Commercial keeps on going just the way it is, doesn't affect that at all.
Yeah, you can but, continue to choose your commercial carrier. Yep.
Now, with residential, though, is it mandatory? Do you have, is there an option at all, or no?
It would be mandatory, is how this would go. I mean, that's how we can keep the prices lower, is that economy of scale. So, we would pass an ordinance that you this would be the preferred or required vendor. Mm-hmm. And then if you're not with that vendor for your residential, then it would technically be an ordinance violation at that time. So,
how about the city dump? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to comment, but like for a handful of people like yourself, if you also were a business owner and don't have curbside or have any necessary need at your residence today, we're not going to require you to do that.
Right.
But that would be a small handful. But if you do utilize some type of residential trash collection or pickup, you would have to go to the preferred vendor.
That's right.
And that's how the cost is, you know, makes it so effective.
How about the city dump? Will it continue to be open like it was, or not? Are you changing something there? Might not be necessary. I don't know.
Right. That was it. That was part of the RFP. Like, we put out different scenarios, you know, keeping it open, not keeping it open, keeping it open in some capacity for larger items, you know, certain times of year, things like that, opening it up for after storm events for things, you know. So, yes, we will have a footprint out there after all this, no matter what decision we make. I mean, if we don't go with any of these bids, if that's the public feedback we get and that's the decision, then yeah, it would stay open as is. But if we go with citywide trash pickup, it would be a scaled down version of what we have now.
Yeah, there's kind of two different options. And again, to take a step backwards, just to clarify, the council hasn't made a decision on this. A decision could be they keep doing what we're doing today.
Oh.
This was just an exploratory item of, does it make sense at this time for the city? Are the costs, you know, cost effective for us? So, but at the refuse site, we could leave it open just to do like bulk drop off a few times a year. Or it could remain open for the public. But what you find out is with the economies of scale, as the mayor said, the more people involved, if we get all 3,000 customers in the city going to exclusive, that's where you get your best pricing. So more than likely that site would close in its current capacity.
And just basically, is there like a senior discount Not that asking for myself.
Yeah. When you get into the weeds with the three proposals, one of the three vendors did offer a senior discount and two of the others did not. Yeah. So different companies approach that in different ways.
Okay. If we get a go-ahead with this, when would it be go into effect?
Our goal would be at the beginning of our fiscal year, which would be May 1. You know, so, and the reason for that was, you know, people buy dump stickers now that run that fiscal year. We sell them beginning May 1, and they run from May until the end of April. So it would help us, you know, just create a clean break at that time and go with a new trash hauler as of May 1. So
I'll just ask you guys this. This is kind of a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, what happens a lot if you do have commercial dumpsters behind commercial buildings, you know, it's keeping people from just using your dumpster, you know, and right. just filling it up. Yeah. And then is there anything to prevent that?
Well, that's where we're kind of hoping this lower cost will help with all that. Help okay. keep the city looking cleaner. It will, if we give people opportunities to have affordable trash hauling, they're not, you know, dumping in the alleyways, you know, they have their own trash at their home. And then if they have larger items, you know, we have an opportunity for you to get rid of bulk items. So there, it's just, that was one of the other, you know, benefits that we thought going this route and exploring this route would help overall keep the city cleaner.
Yeah, very proactive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I think we found in our research that other communities, when they went to this, you know, all these companies have the nice, sturdy 95-gallon totes for mm-hmm. trash with the lid closes, the large wheels that roll easily for people. They usually utilize like a 65-gallon tote for recycling. And those are just easy, convenient ways, as the mayor said, to make sure that your community is clean and yes. for everybody's benefit.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Anything else you guys got in the works as far as being proactive yeah. for the city?
We have a, you know, we're always looking out for different, we cover, of course, the mayor has a much bigger umbrella than I do, but in my public works world, in Parks and Rec side, donor pool, believe it or not, is past 25 years old now. So it's a wonderful facility, but it's seeing its age. So we yeah. have a grant that's pending with Department of Natural Resources to do some kind of major upgrades on the main pool. And then the kiddie pool really needs some work. The features are in bad need. So we're hoping to get that. And then we would push forward with that in the next couple of years to rehab that facility.
Okay. I guess you'd rehab it during the off season, or would it be closed down for
a while? We would. We're trying to time it so that we could make it just right so we wouldn't miss a beat, or maybe we get a few weeks into the next year. But again, the benefit of the splash pad is that even if we have to completely close for a year, maybe we close kiddie pool, rehab it, and we got the splash pad, and then the next season we would come in and do the main pool. That's kind of up in the air as to how we're going to do it.
Yeah, I see.
But that was a nice side benefit of that project. So,
any other things going on that the people need to know or want to know?
Nothing's jumping out. I mean, I know we always try to be, like you said, proactive. We're always looking at ways to improve the city. So, nothing's.
Yeah, I mean, outside of our umbrella, you know, Will Strang's on board now as our community development director. And mm-hmm. I know him and his group of one usually, you know, they're working hard to do Rock the Block and other events that bring more people into the downtown footprint.
Right. So that's coming.
I'll throw Will under the bus. You need to get him on here sometime, Chris, and promote some of our events there, which I'm sure you do. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot going on from that aspect.
Yeah. It was a shame that we didn't have the Christmas.
That was a disappointing
Christmas.
That weather.
Gosh.
Yeah.
But it was the right move.
Yeah.
Because it would have been terrible.
It would have.
Yeah.
It'd been bad. So, yeah, that weather.
Yeah.
You know, depending on that weather.
Yep.
Well, fellas, if we covered everything?
I think so. I just want to let the public know on the trash topic that we talked about, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to have a frequently asked questions sheet that is up on the website, plus all the bids that were submitted on the website, so people can review those and look those over. And again, if those answer your questions, great. You know, you can send us emails or anything else. But if you want to attend the public hearing, you know, that is on the public information meeting is on the 20th at 5:30.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good to know. Bob, anything?
No, just we've covered a lot of ground here today, and we talk about all the big projects and the stuff that I work on, but I would hate to not talk about our staff. You know,
Let's talk about
a lot
staff.
Of the everyday things we do. I know you've had John Miles on the program
before.
The
street cleaning during the snow, man, that's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of work, a lot of moving parts, but we take pride in all of our people that do that. Back to your issue about the storm, you know, that was a big storm, but we encounter many smaller storms throughout the year. Our guys are out there running street sweepers and cleaning basins, and so we're proud of the work they do every day.
Yeah.
Throughout the year.
Crew.
So, yeah.
Good crew.
Yeah. For sure.
And all of our, you know, local people.
Yeah.
Working it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a team effort. So,
for sure.
There's a lot of good work going on at City Hall. We have staff there, and they do a lot of work behind the scenes. And,
and City Hall looks so good. I mean, the improvements made in there. It's really
it is good.
It's really nice.
To dovetail on the Bob's thing, too, you know, even our first responders have been busy this winter season so far. We've had a local fire and then a fire out in the county that our guys responded to. And one of our officers, Nick Wolfel, just got a commendation for his efforts at the fire on Pine Street, which is near you and I, just down the road from both of us. And, you know, he, you know, went above and beyond there and saved two people that were trapped in the upstairs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, hey, what a shout out to Scott Wolfel. That's great.
That was Nick, his son, Nick. But yeah.
Oh, his son, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he raised a good son.
He did. He did, for sure.
I'll be darned. Now, do they know what caused that fire?
I don't think so. They think all I had heard was it was in the kitchen is where they think it started. So, but how it started, we don't know.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, great having you in. And we might mention one more time when that meeting is.
The public information meeting is on January 20th. It's a Tuesday at 5:30. It'll be a half hour before our regular city council meeting.
So if you got any questions, come in and ask them.
And we do still have an option if a person can't make it that night. There is a call-in option, and that's listed on our website and all the details for that. So,
True. Yeah, call in and listen.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks so much for doing what you guys do. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate the time.